in the limelight. The largest of plastic bits are 5 millimeters long, roughly the size of a kernel of corn, and many are much smaller and invisible to the naked eye. They enter the environment in many ways. Some slough off of car tires and wash into streams and eventually into the oceans during rainstorms. Others detach from fleeces and spandex clothing in washing machines and are mixed in with the soiled water that drains from the washing machine. Some come from abandoned fishing gear, and still more are the result of the eventual breakdown of millions of straws, cups, water bottles, plastic bags, and other single-use plastics thrown out each day. Research into their potential impact on everything from tiny single-celled organisms to larger mammals like sea otters is just getting underway. We've prepared an interesting article written by Gillian Flackers under the heading "Scientists Gather to Study Risk from Microplastic Pollution." The article has been taken from a website of the Associated Press. Stay with us for more of Gillian Flackers' article. Tiny bits of broken down plastic, smaller than a fraction of a grain of rice, are turning up everywhere in the oceans, from the water of the guts of fishes and the abdominal of sea otters and giant killer whales. Yet little is known about the effects of these microplastics on sea creatures or on humans. Sean Larson, curator of the conservation research at the Seattle Aquarium, says, "It's such a huge endeavor to know how bad it is," adding, "We're just starting to get a finger on the pulse." This week, a group of 6 microplastics researchers from major universities, government agencies, tribes, aquariums, environmental groups, and even water sanitation districts across the United States, Western United States, gathered in Bremerton, Washington, to tackle the issue. The goal is to create a mathematical risk assessment for microplastic pollution in the region, similar to predictions used to game out responses to major natural disasters such as earthquakes. The largest of these plastic bits are 5 millimeters long, roughly the size of a kernel of corn, and many are much smaller and some are invisible to the naked eye. They enter the environment in many ways. Some slough off of car tires and wash into the streams and rivers and eventually into the oceans during rainstorms. Others detach from fleeces and spandex clothing in washing machines and are mixed in with the salt water that drains from the washing machine. Some come from abandoned fishing gear, and still more are the result of the eventual breakdown of millions of straws, cups, water bottles, plastic bags, and other single-use plastics thrown out each day. Research into their potential impact on everything from tiny single-celled organisms to larger mammals like sea otters is just getting underway. Stacy Harper, associate professor at Oregon State University in the United States, who helped organize the conference, said, "This is an alarm bell that's going to ring loud and strong," adding, "We're first going to prioritize who it is that we're concerned about protecting. What organisms, what endangered species, and what regions. And that will help us hone in and determine the data we need to do a risk assessment on." A study published last year by Portland State University found an average of 11 microplastic pieces per oyster and 9 microplastic pieces per razor clam in the samples taken from the Oregon coast. Elise Granick, a study co-author, said nearly all were from microfibers, from fleece or other synthetic clothing, or from abandoned fishing gear. Scientists at the San Francisco Estuary Institute found significant amounts of microplastic washing into the San Francisco Bay from storm runoff over a 3-year sampling period that ended last year. Rebecca Sutton, senior scientist and researcher at the Institute, said researchers believed the black rubbery bits, no bigger than a grain of sand, are likely from car tires. They will present their findings at the conference. Those studying the phenomena are worried about the health of creatures living in the oceans, but also possibly about the health of human beings as well. Some of the concern stems from an unusual twist unique to plastic pollution. Andrew Mason, the Pacific Northwest Regional Coordinator for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Marine Debris Program, said because plastic is made from fossil fuels and contains hydrocarbons, it attracts and absorbs other pollutants in the water, such as PCBs and pesticides. Andrew Mason said, "There's a lot of research that still needs to be done, but these plastics have the ability to mine harmful chemicals that are in the environment. They can accumulate them," adding, "Everything, as it goes up towards the top, it just gets more and more and the umbrella gets wider. And who sits at the top of the food chain? We do. That's why these researchers are coming together, because this is a growing problem and we need to understand those effects." Researchers say bans on plastic bags, styrofoam carry-on containers and single-use items like straws and plastic utensils will help when it comes to the tiniest plastic pollution. Some jurisdictions have also recently begun taking a closer look at the smaller plastic bits that have the scientific community so concerned. California lawmakers in 2018 passed legislation that will ultimately require the state to stop a method for testing for microplastics in drinking water and to perform that testing for 4 years, with the results reported to the public in California. The first key deadline for the law, simply defining what qualifies as a microplastic, is on 1st of July. And federal lawmakers, including Senator Jeff Merkley, an Oregon Democrat, and Senator Lindsey Graham, a South Carolina Republican, recently introduced bipartisan legislation to establish a pilot research program at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, to study how to curb the crisis of microplastic pollution. Larson, the conservationist at the Seattle Aquarium, said a year of studies at her institution found 200 to 300 microfibers in each 100-liter sample of seawater that aquarium sucks in from the Puget Sound for its exhibits. Larson, who chaired a session at a recent consortium, said those results are alarming. She said, "It's being able to take that information and turn it into policy and say, hey, 50 years ago, we put everything in paper bags and wax and glass bottles. Why can't we do that again now?"